I heard a story recently about a man, let's call him Peter, and he was well, and suddenly he started feeling sick. And so he went to the doctors and he they tested him, and all the results came. And then when they found the results, they said he had fourth stage cancer. There were no signs, and so suddenly there was this fourth stage cancer. And so the doctors immediately said, you need to come to the hospital, we're going to treat you, we're going to see what we can do. And as he went into the hospital, he said, I want to do something that I've never done before. I want to, please get me a Bible. So they gave him a Bible, and he said, I'm going to read from Genesis to Revelation. So everybody told him, no, don't bother. Just start maybe at Matthew, and maybe you'll be able to finish till Revelation. He said he insisted, and he started reading the Bible, and he started from Genesis. Until he started reading, till he came to Jeremiah. And when he came to Jeremiah, there's a time when in Jeremiah it says, the word of the Lord came to him. And as he was thinking then, Lord, what is your word for me? You spoke to Jeremiah, said, the word of the Lord came to me. What is the word for me? So as he prayed and as he sought the Lord, one thing that came to him is said, go and read Isaiah 53:5. Do you know what 53:5 is? Find it in your Bible and read it to me. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed.
The chastisement. Sorry, can you read that again?
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
And with his stripes we are healed. He said, I believe this. I have been healed by Jesus. So he told them, when the doctors came around the next day, he said, you know, doctor, I'm healed. Jesus has healed me. So they did some more tests, and the test came back. It was worse than before. But he kept saying that God has healed me. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to go outside the hospital and somebody will come and tell you something. So as he got dressed, he went out of the hospital to the parking lot, and he was standing there, and suddenly a car pulled up, and the man pulled out his put his head outside the window and asked him, are you so and so? He said, yes. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. And so he went back into the hospital, saying that God had spoken to him. In the next few days, he started improving, and his condition improved. And finally, they tested him, and he was all clear of cancer. That's what happens when we trust God. Yes, he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Trusting God. How much do we trust God? I want you to turn to the person next to you and ask me, do you trust me? Do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself? How much do we trust him? You know, our trust sometimes is, we don't trust even the people close to us, because we think that, you know, they're not reliable. But there's someone we can always trust, and that is Jesus. It's just like this. It's a trapeze. It's letting go of everything. You're up in the air, and you might be caught, you might not be caught. But that's what trust is all about. That's what trusting in God means. That you abandon everything that you have. You let go, and that He's there to catch you. How often have we felt that? You know, our tendency is to hold on to our own strength, our own abilities, and do what we think is best. But when you let go, something different happens in our life. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to trust God? The scripture says in Psalm 20, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So what are chariots? Something that in the old days were something of strength. If you had a chariot and you're a king, that means you were strong. And the horse is also an animal that was a very significant animal in the army of a person. But the psalmist said, some trust in chariots and some on horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. So not trusting in our own strength, not trusting in our own abilities, but trusting in God. How much are we willing to trust in God? So what is trust? Trust is something that we, how do we say this? See, many times we have faith in God. We say, I have faith in God, that God can do this. But trust is something that is to exercise that trust, is to take that step and say, I'm letting go, I trust you. You know, when you come in a train, you trust the driver and the train to bring you to wherever you're going. You come in a bus, it's the same thing. You trust the driver that he will be safe and take you to your destination. When you fly in a plane, you're defying gravity completely. And you're trusting the pilot that this plane will fly. And you're stuck in this metal tube for I don't know how many hours. And you're trusting that all this will hold together and it will get you to your destination. So that trust, we exercise our trust every day in different things. But how often do we exercise our trust in God? Do we exercise that faith? Lord, I trust you. It's easy to sing songs and say that, you know, I trust you, Lord. But to actually do it in practice, it's difficult. I remember when I was in school, one of the things I don't know whether I've shared the story, but I'll share it again. One of the things I wanted to do was to learn to swim. I was involved in different kinds of sports. I was playing soccer, I was playing cricket, I was playing hockey, doing everything. But swimming was something that I lacked, and I really wanted to swim. So a whole bunch of us, our friends, we decided to go to this pool. We signed up at this swimming pool, and we all went every morning. We used to faithfully go. So the coach there made us initially hold the rails and kick our legs just to get the idea of swimming. And then as we did that, he asked us to let our hands go, so we very reluctantly let our hands go. And then one day I heard a buzz among all our friends that the coach was telling us to go up onto the diving board and to jump in. And when I heard that, I said, no, I'm too scared. I'm not going to do that. So I stopped going to the swimming lessons because I didn't want to jump. I was afraid. I didn't want to trust what the coach was saying. And so we went. So I stopped going there. And then a few years later, I learned to swim. And then one day, a couple of friends, we decided to go and swim in a lake. And in the middle of this lake, there was this big rock. So the idea was to swim to this rock and come back. For me, when I looked at the rock, I thought it's very far. I told them, you go. I'm going to stay in the shallow and swim here. I can't swim that. I don't have the strength to swim that. Anyway, they bullied me and said, you have to go. So we all started off swimming. And so as we started swimming, I suddenly felt my legs give way. I couldn't kick and stay up. My hands suddenly gave way, and I went down, gulped a lot of water, came up, and I tried to get their attention and say, hey, help me, you know, I'm drinking a lot of water. And next thing, I went down again, drank more water, and by this time they realized that there was something serious, and they needed to help me. So they got hold of me, they pulled me, and so we went to this rock. I very reluctantly went, and then we came back. Coming back, they held me and they brought me back. And it was the most wonderful moment for me to stand on land and feel secure, because I knew that was safe. So for me, that whole experience was trusting these people that they would hold me. So look at what Scripture says. So it says, come read it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How often we lean on our own understanding. We forget that we can trust God. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Here's what I want you to focus on today. Do not be wise in your own eyes. How often we do that. I will use my intellect, I will use my abilities, I will use the advice of different people to do this. But do we really acknowledge God, trust in the Lord with all our heart? Do we let go? Or do we want to hold a clenched fist? When we worship, this morning we raised our hands. Did you feel something different happened when you did that? Yes? When you lift up your hands and worship, something special happens. You don't wise in your own eyes. You worship God for who He is. And you find that it liberates you. And you can really worship God. So do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make path. Do not be wise in your own way. And look what happens when you do that. You fear the Lord and you turn away from evil, and it will be healing for your body. When we turn away from evil, we are not wise in our own eyes. When we acknowledge Him, He makes our path straight. He heals our bodies. And it'll be refreshment to your bones. This is what Scripture says. I'm not saying this. It's healing for your body when you trust God. It's refreshment for your bones. Sometimes, you know, my bones feel tired and weary and I need to sit down. But then when you worship God, when you trust Him, it heals your body, and it trust, and it's refreshment to your bones. And then he goes on to say, honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first of all your produce, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats with overflowing with new wine. So honor God in everything that you do. Sometimes we don't have much, but when you honor God with everything that you have, then God does a miracle in your life. Proverbs 22 says, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Pay attention and turn your ear. Apply your heart that you may trust, that your trust may be in the Lord. It's important that we continue to trust God. You know, one of the things that we sometimes say is that certain things are impossible. I remember growing up with some friends, and this friend had a daughter. And all the time that this friend used to tell her, you're stupid, you're no good, you're good for nothing. And time and again, she kept repeating this to this child. And I'm sure as this mother kept saying this to this daughter, that the child started thinking that, you know, I'm really no good, I can't do anything. And you see in life many times that when you keep saying something negative, it happens to you. Yes? But when you say something positive, what happens? It changes the whole dynamics. So what I want to encourage you to do is don't confine yourself to saying negative things all the time. But look at more positive things. You know, we read there that says, trust in the Lord. Lean not in your own understanding. How often are we willing to trust God and say the positive things? Pay attention, turn your ear and apply to your heart that your trust may be in the Lord. Sometimes we put God in a box and say that, you know, this is difficult. It's not going to happen with me. We limit God. God is the same. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Abraham, as we sang, is the same as the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and you and me. What he did and said in Genesis is still valid today, because he is Jehovah. We sang Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. And that's who he is this morning. He is the same God. But we limit God many times and we put him in a box and say, this is not, you can't go out of this. Can we trust God to do something more, exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think? Yes or no? Yes. Yes, of course we can. God wants us to trust him to do exceedingly abundantly. That's what Paul says in his letters. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. I'm involved in a ministry, as some of you know, where we go into different countries where persecution is high. Believers are constantly harassed, they're beaten up, and they face many challenges. On August 20th in India, in the capital, Delhi, there was a small worship service in Delhi. And it was usually about 100 people come for that. But that Sunday on 20th August, there were fewer people. And this church is in a lane and in sort of a housing estate. So as they were worshiping, they heard some loud music, and the music got closer and closer, and soon a whole about 25 to 30 men barged into the 30 people barged into this church service with iron rods and knives. And there was this man called Abhishek means blessing. He was playing the drums like we were playing this morning, and they came and they hit his hands with iron rods. They broke his fingers and he can't play the drums anymore. They came and destroyed all the drums, all the musical instruments. There was a picture of the Last Supper on the wall. They smashed it with the iron rod. They broke chairs, and there were two girls there, who young girls who were trying to stop it. So they beat them with these iron rods, and their hands are all bruised. They also tried to rape them. They take off their clothes, but fortunately, they were not able to do that. And their claim was that we are living now in a Hindu nation, and you as a Christian cannot worship. You cannot be worshiping here in this place. This is in the Indian capital, Delhi. But the Sunday after that, everybody was there in the church. Broken chairs, broken instruments. They were all there worshiping God on Sunday. And Abhishek, whose hands were damaged, he couldn't play the drum, he was also in church. Trusting God in the midst of all these struggles, they are able to do that. Sometimes we say that something when tragic happens, I can't trust God. But believe me, we can trust this one who is the everlasting God. Mm-hmm. He is the Prince of Peace. God never changes, and we can trust Him. And we never limit Him into a box. He does things beyond our expectation, exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. God never works the same way. Every time He works differently. Sometimes when you ask God for something, you may not get it the same way you want. You think you should get it, but He will. He says that if you ask anything in my name, I will give it. And He says, as a father, if you ask for a fish, will He give you a stone? And how much more will He give you the Holy Spirit? So trusting is a very important thing, a core foundation of our faith. We need to trust God in, no matter what our circumstances. Some of us here this morning have families in, maybe back in the Philippines, where you're struggling and you're wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to support them? Trust God. Trust God for them. Trust your husbands or your family, your children, to look after them. Commit them to the Lord and you see what happens. He will protect them. He will provide for them. He will be with them. And look at this again about Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so also you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you will I curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Imagine being 75 years old and God saying something to do very impossible. He was settled in his land, saying that, and happy there. And suddenly God appears to Abram and says, go forth from your country. Many times I come across people who say that, I say, will you give your life to the Lord? And there's a hesitancy before they say that. Maybe not now, maybe when I'm older, when I feel more settled, I have enough money, I will give my life to the Lord. What about going on a mission trip? Maybe sometime when I'm older, when I'm better equipped. We make all these excuses. We lean on our own understanding. But here you see what Abraham does. God tells Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house. So go to a land which I will show you. God doesn't tell him where to go. He just leave. And what does Abraham do? He went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. But I want you to look at something at the bottom of this. And Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. And he just tagged along. And because Abram was going off, he said, I will go. God never called Lot. But Lot went with him. And you find that later on you have this conflict. Lot chooses to go to the green pastures. Well, Abraham goes to a dry land. And what happens? Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham chooses another place. Trusting God when God tells you to do something is important. Very important that when you trust. Like that story I told you. God told this man to go out of the hospital. And when he did that, he was healed. So standing up and trusting God. So here are the promises that God makes to Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. I will bless all the people on earth through you. What an amazing promise from God to Abraham. God says all of this, but Abraham has to listen. And only when he listens and trusts God does this promise. It doesn't immediately come because Abraham runs into all sorts of problems. But he believes and trusts God. And then you see also that God tells Abraham, you will have a son. And Abraham says, oh, it can't happen. I've passed that age where I can have any children. And Sarah starts laughing. And what happens? God changes that situation. And a miracle happens. And Isaac is born. So you see, when you trust God, things change in our life. The impossible becomes the possible. Trusting God. So Abram trusted God, and when God told him to leave his home and go far away to another land that he promised to give him, Abram did what? Okay. He obeyed. Away he went, not even knowing where he was going. And even when he reached God's promised land, he lived in tents like a mere visitor, as did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently waiting for God. This is from Hebrews. To bring him to that strong heavenly city whose designer and builder is God. Trusting God again. If God has given you a promise, if God has given you a vision, if God has given you something, cling on to it. Hold on to something. I don't know whether your children have gone astray and you're worried about your children. Are you willing to trust God for them this morning? Saying, God, I trust these children to you that they will come back. They will not go astray. They will not marry people who are not your people. I want them to come into you, to know them. I want them to come back into your kingdom. Trusting God. Are you willing to trust God this morning for your children, for your families? for your parents. I don't know who you're looking for. But I want to urge you this morning, trust your children if you feel your children are not walking with God. Trust your family members who are not walking with God. In the Acts, it says, Acts chapter 16, he said, if you trust in the Lord, you and your family will be saved. Are we willing to trust God this morning? Again, it's the power of the tongue. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, we were talking earlier, I was sharing this morning about how you say things. The tongue has this power. When you speak to somebody, how do you speak? Do you speak gently or you speak harshly? When you say something about yourself, what do you say? Can I do this? Or do you say, maybe not, I'm not confident about myself. You know, you start making excuses and say, oh, this is not for me, you know, maybe I can't do it. Maybe someone else can do it. We make all these excuses and say that. But if you keep doing that, if you keep saying that thing again and again, that's how you're going to be. For example, if you have an injury in your leg and you can't walk, and you keep saying, oh, you know, I my leg is hurting all the time, I can't walk. But if you start saying that, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to walk, then you will get the strength. You will find that your body, your healing comes to your body, and you'll be able to do that. So the tongue is very powerful. Be careful how we use it. We bless people or we curse them. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So what I'm basically saying is that be positive in your outlook. When you say something, be positive. Trust in the Lord in all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. So, you know, very often we say, I don't know about the future, what am I going to do? But we know who holds the future. And if we're able to do that, then God changes the whole narrative. He changes our situations. So I encourage you this morning, say the positive. Don't say the negative about yourself even. Or don't condemn yourself saying, oh, I'm no good, I'm terrible at. But learn to say more things positive about yourself. He who watches over his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. I'm not saying this. This is what the Bible says. So watch over your mouth very carefully. Be careful of what you say. Be positive in everything that you say. Be positive in your relationships with your children, with your spouse, with your boss, whoever you come across, be positive. Don't run them down. So this is after the resurrection. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, peace be to you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. The disciples were there with him for 3 years. And he had told them repeatedly that he would rise again. But when he rose, they didn't believe it. They had these doubts. And Jesus came and showed them his hands and his feet. He showed them proof. Why was this? Because they didn't trust in what he said. It all comes down to trust in our lives, of how much we are willing to trust God. So Jesus had to demonstrate to his disciples, and many times he has to do that to us as well. When we doubt about him, when he doubt his word, doubt him, God comes and he reaffirms. Looks what the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. When you wait patiently for the Lord, what he does, looks what he does. He hears your cry. He lifts you out of the slimy pit. So I don't know what this morning, whether you're in some difficulty. I don't know what difficulty you have. God is able to lift you up from that. Yes, God is able to lift you up from whatever slimy pit you are in, and the mud and the mire, and then set your feet on a rock. Many and many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Is there something that's difficult for you this morning where you're struggling with and you say that I can't get out of this? Maybe a debt, you borrowed money from people and you're wondering how you're going to pay that back. Simple, trust the Lord. Trust him to pull you out of the situation, to bring you out of that and put your feet on a rock. And many, when you trust him, you will see many will fear. When you declare that and say that, I declare that the Lord is my rock, many will see and hear your testimony that he can do something exceedingly abundantly. I'm just going to go through a few scriptures quickly. God is our refuge and strength. Where is it? Can you read that? Let's read it. So when there was this typhoon last two weeks ago and the floods, what happened? The mountains came down in some areas and the floods were there. And people's hearts were saying, what is happening here in Hong Kong? But then when we trust God, something different happens. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea and its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake and its swelling pride. So one of the greatest things, signs that you trust God, is that you trust his timing. You can ask God for something, but his timing is always the best. So trust God for what you need to do. So when you trust God, you shouldn't let anyone intimidate you from worshiping him. Instead, be proud of your faith. And believe that God will protect you if others persecute you for it. This is something that I like, this verse. When you trust God. But when you serve the Lord with God, your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and will remove sickness from your midst. This is a promise of God in Exodus chapter 23, 25. Trusting God, when you trust Him completely, He will bless your bread and your water and remove sickness from you. So God has not changed. His promises have not changed either. He is still the promise keeper, and most of all, He can be trusted. So coming back to the scripture again that we started with, lean not on my own understanding. Here's something that we could do. Run, anytime you have a problem, run to the throne of grace. Not to seek counsel with anybody, lean on your own understanding, but run to God. When you have turbulence in your life, when you have problems in your life, the first person you should go to, not send a WhatsApp to the whole church, but go to the Lord and tell God, Father, this is something that I'm struggling with. First go to God and then tell everyone else. Remember God's character, who God is. He is the Almighty God. And He can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask any. And then recall God's faithfulness in the past. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. How has God been faithful to you through all these years? Remember that. And then pray for faith that you will stand in it, no matter what. Walk by faith and not by sight. So trust God. And eventually, be willing to let go. Imagine you. Sometimes we are in a situation like this. We're up on a high wire. There's all the earth below. And there's no thing. There's no parachute, nothing. And if you let go, what happens? God will help them. Isaiah chapter 40 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall lift up their wings like eagles. Do you know what happens to an eagle when it has chicks? It builds a nest high up in a mountain, at the edge of a mountain, and both the parents go and get sticks and they get feathers and they build this nest right on top. And then they lay the eggs, sometimes one or two eggs, and both the mother and the father both keep watch over these eggs. They eventually hatch. Then both take turns trying to find the best food and bring it to the little eaglets. Then one day the eaglets get big and it's time for them to fly, but both the eaglet doesn't want to fly. It stretches its wings, it knows that something will happen if it does, but it's not willing to do that. So suddenly the parents, their whole attitude changes, and the parents from being loving and giving them food every day come and start destroying the nest, and they start pushing out these little birds. Crying and screaming, the birds pull their wings out and try to soar. Sometimes the wind takes them and they fly. Other times they just fall to the ground. The mother eagle comes underneath, picks them up, takes them up again, and then throws them up again. So God is like that. He comes when we fall, when we run into troubles. He comes, picks us up, and He says, come, my child, my son, my daughter, learn with me, trust me. I want to ask us to sing this song now, and then we'll pray. sleep, Jesus.
Yeah.
So I just want to speak the name of Jesus over everyone this morning. Can we put up those lyrics, please? On every heart and every mind, because I know there's peace within your presence, I speak Jesus on you this morning. Let His grace be upon you. Let His peace be upon you. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than He can ask or think, to Him be glory both now and forever. In Jesus' name. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in